Test, test. There we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And before we get there, you know, Jesus said, and he said, be, wait a minute, let me figure out where I'm going. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I better go to the scripture. How many of you ever have a brain lapse or something in your thinking? Matthew chapter 5, verse number 48. Now I'll get where I'm going. Jesus said, be perfect as your Father, which in heaven is perfect. How many in this room can be perfect? Is there anybody at all can be perfect? You know, Jesus said he gave us in Ephesians 4, verse 11, he says he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come into the unity in the body of Christ, to the full stature, until a perfect man. And what God's speaking about is his love. We are being perfected in the love of God. We sang that song, I never knew a love like that. His love is agape love. What agape love is God loves you right where you're at, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been. God's love is pouring out to every last one of us today. So as he's saying to you and I, just as his love pours out to us, perfect love casts out all fear. Because love has, for fear has torment, and he that fears is not made perfect in love, according to the 2 Timothy. And what God is saying to us, it's his love that flows into you and I and out of us to perfect us. So in our text today, the Apostle Paul, he's writing, is closing his second letter to the church of Corinth. Now, I want you to say something here. The Apostle Paul is writing to the church. He's not writing to the world. He's writing to you and I, the body of Christ. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the natural man doesn't understand the things of God. They are foolishness to him because they're spiritually discerned. And with the Apostle Paul, and he's closing this letter, and 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I want to start in verse number 11. He said, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints salute you. And then he closes with this, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. He closes it with the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. But today I want to focus your attention for the message this morning on verse number 11, where he says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. The title of this morning's message is Embrace the Grace. What grace is the unmerited favor of God. We're going to look at to prosper, to practice, and to pacify. Let's ask God's blessing upon the preaching and teaching of his word. Father, we're so grateful for this word, Lord. We're grateful that you sent it here to accomplish what you sent it to this house to do. Father, I pray that you speak through me today. May the words that proceed out of my mouth bring edification, exhortation, and comfort to every hearer. Father, it's all about you. Father, if there's any here that do not know you, may this be the day of their salvation. May, for those that have known you and have drifted away, may this be the day of their return. And for the entire body of Christ, may we be lifted up. May we be encouraged by the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, all glory and honor and praise will be unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So he says to be perfect, and we understand to be perfect is the perfect love of God flowing through us to others, okay? And we're being perfected by God's word. So first I want to look at the to prosper. And what the Lord took me to is in 3 John, verse number 2. To be of good comfort. You know, when I'm thinking about comfort, the first thing that came up to, in my mind is a comforter. What does a comforter do? Usually in our house and when we're watching TV at night, especially during the winter and even in the summer, because I like keeping the air conditioner cold, my wife always covers herself with a comforter. What the comforter does is makes her warm. It makes her cozy. It makes her comfortable. Amen. And he said that to be of good comfort, okay? And when we're in good comfort, then we're prospering. And in 3 John, verse number 2, the Word of God says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." Well, first thing he says, that your soul prospers. You know, the Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 22, he said, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." So what the Lord was saying to me is when our soul prospers, then our health prospers. When our health prospers, then we prosper. Amen. So he says in Ezekiel, "All souls are mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die, because the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." So we're looking at, as our soul prospers, our health prospers. As our health prospers, our finance prospers, because we're not paying for doctors and hospitals and medications. Hello, are you listening? Amen. And he says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." Jesus said, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." What am I saying? Free from the day, free from sickness, because my soul's prospering and it's bringing me health and it's bringing me prosperity. "I have no greater love than to hear that my children walk in the truth." Not just to talk the truth, but to walk in it. Amen? So in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, in 2 Corinthians 1, let me, as we go here, we ended in the final chapter in our text today, but I wanted to go to the beginning of the chapter. Now, usually when somebody's in a letter, in all the letters that Paul wrote to the churches, he started with an introduction. He introduced himself to who he was speaking to, and then he introduced the subject that he was going to cover in his letter. And, you know, and then throughout the letter, through the different chapters, he'll expound on that truth that he's trying to bring, and at the end he closes. It's sort of like if you went to a sales presentation. Let's say you went to look at something that they were selling. First they would do an introduction, then they would talk to you about the product, and then they would close the deal, okay, and ask for the order. And that's the same way we do in the house of the Lord. In the same way that we bring the word, we bring an introduction, we expound on the truth, we close on it, and we ask you to react upon it. What is he talking about first? That we be of good comfort, that we're to prosper, okay? And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 3, He says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. You know something? I can't give you anything I do not have. In other words, for you, many people think that comfort comes just when you're mourning. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And mourning isn't just death. Sometimes we mourn because things aren't going right in our life. We're faced with different circumstances and different situations. And God says, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And God has given us the comforter of the Holy Ghost is inside you and I to comfort you and I in every storm. And that same comfort that we receive, God says we're to pour that comfort out to others. Amen. Amen. So when we come into the room, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. This love that flows through us has to be God's love. It can't be our love, because our love always comes with conditions. Amen. And if you say your love doesn't come with conditions, you're a liar and the truth is not in you. God's love is the only unmerited love. It's the grace of love. It's that agape love that flows to people when they do not deserve it. Hello? So in other words, when we allow the comfort of God to come into you and I, all of a sudden he said that same comfort that you receive, give it to your brothers. Amen. We're to be each other's comforter. Amen. Amen. If you're cold, you can have my jacket. Is anybody cold in here? Is everybody comfortable? Hallelujah. But in that same way, that jacket is like a comforter. If you're cold, what you do is you put on your coat. You put on a jacket. I'm not cold, but I'm wearing this jacket, okay? It isn't because I'm cold. I'm warm natured. And as you put on your jacket, when you're going to a room, there may be somebody that's cold in that room. There may be somebody that's going through a hard time. There may be somebody that's going through a trial. And there's a test. And you have their answer. And their answer is Jesus. God says, take off that coat that you're wearing and place it on that brother or place it on that sister and bring them comfort. Because blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And we're the hands and the feet and the mouth of Jesus to a lost and dying world. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm grateful. I'm so grateful for the love of God that called me and set me apart for a time such as now. How about you? Are you grateful for God? Can you give him some praise and glory in the house? You know, the Apostle Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, as he's writing to the church at Thessalonica, he says, as you know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that you would walk worthy of God who have called you unto his kingdom and glory. Hallelujah. In other words, God is saying to you and I, this calls for us to be kingdom-minded. Kingdom-minded. He not only said that you would be of good comfort, but that you would be of one mind. Boy, isn't that a challenge. Hello? Amen? But he says to you and I, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. God says that we're to have one, be united in mind. Without agape love, without love, we cannot have one mind. It will not happen. None of us think alike. So when we're aligning ourselves by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God, all of a sudden we can think the same. We can move in the same direction to accomplish the will of God. What God said today, not our will, but his will be done in this house, in this message. God be glorified and magnified. So what the Lord was speaking to myself, to me about, secondly, to be of one mind, he said, to practice. What do you mean? To practice. He said, to practice what we preach. James said, you show me your faith, and I'll show you my works. Because faith without works is dead, being alone. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give the Father in heaven all the glory. So with this in mind, turn me in to Romans 12. To Romans 12. Verse number 16. The Apostle Paul says, be of the same mind one to another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things in honest in the sight of all men. And if it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Amen. Amen. If we're going to be world changers, we can't act like the world. Amen. Amen. We got to represent the Spirit of God that's in us, the Spirit of God that's going to be give us good comfort. Amen. To help us prosper, is going to help us to practice what we preach. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 10, the apostle says this as he's opening his letter, to his first letter to the church of Corinth. He says, now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Without agape love, without the Spirit of love, we will not be able to do that. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy. If I don't have love, I ain't going to have joy. If I don't have joy, I ain't going to have peace. If I don't have peace, I ain't going to have long-suffering. If I don't have long-suffering, I ain't going to have kindness. If I don't have kindness, I ain't going to have gentleness. If I don't have gentleness, I'm not going to have meekness. If I don't have meekness, I'm not going to have faith. Hallelujah. They're all flowing together. Are you with me? So with that in mind, the Word of God says in Ephesians chapter 4, the apostle puts it like this, in verse number 3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Yes. Now, when I endeavor to do something, I work at it. Amen? Just as Jesus said, strive to enter in the straight gate, for narrow is the way and wide is the road to destruction. And there'll be few that find it. In other words, there's a striving. There's an endeavoring. You know, I can't operate with the same mind unless I endeavor to do it. You know, we say this. If I'm following God's word, Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. And if we're not going in this same direction, we're divided. That doesn't mean there's not many ministries. That doesn't mean there's not different methods. That doesn't mean that we don't flow in different ways. But the same way, a house divided cannot stand. Amen. When the apostle is saying to them, hey, be perfect. Let that love flow. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. Amen. He said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Now, when I was thinking about blessed be the peacemakers, Jesus is speaking. Jesus brought peace for you and I, between you and I, between you and I and God. He was a peacemaker. Amen. And he offers that peace between you and God to whosoever will. He said, for whosoever shall call upon my name shall be saved. He said, but you have to call upon him. You got to ask him into your heart as your Lord and Savior. You got to acknowledge that he died on the cross, that he rose from the grave, that he paid the penalties for our sins and purchased a place in heaven. We got to ask him to forgive our sins and come into our life as our Lord and Savior. And as we do that, he gives us the Spirit of God that gives us a helper. You know, if we looked at what it would look like to be a child of God, we could never do it without help. I thank God for the helper. Amen. How many are grateful for the Holy Spirit? Amen. How many are grateful that God put himself within you and I? That when he says that he'll never leave us nor forsake us, that he'd be as close as the call of his name. He's always within you and I. So what are you speaking to us about? Third, when I was thinking live in peace, what came to my mind is to pacify. And when I looked at that, all of a sudden I saw this little baby screaming and crying. And I saw mama give the baby a pacifier. And when the mama gave baby that pacifier, there was something that just brought peace to that child. And all of a sudden, it calmed that child right down. Come on. And God gave us the Spirit of God so that we can live in peace, to pacify, to bring peace no matter what the situation, no matter what the circumstance. So he's the pacifier. So here I say to pacify. And if you look with me in Psalms 34, verse number 13. The apostle says this. He says, keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Life and death are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it eat the fruit thereof. In other words, we got to be careful what we speak. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. In other words, we're to be slow to speak. We're to listen. We're to bite our tongues. How many would like to react a certain ways with certain situations and would like to say something, but you learn just to keep your mouth shut? I'm still learning. I'm still learning, because before I would be that one that responds and tell them just the way it is. Hallelujah. Are you with me? But he says, depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. If you're pursuing something, you're chasing it. We're going after peace is what we're going after. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from off the earth. So to expound on this, the Apostle Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 12, he says, put on therefore. I kind of shared something with Wizzy and I in the Bible study. We're talking about putting things on. And I'm a creature of habit. When I get up in the morning, the first thing I put on is my socks. Hello? It doesn't matter what you put on first, but I put on my socks. And that, you know, and he says, put on the Lord Jesus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And if we don't put Jesus on first, we go looking for him later, we're going to react the wrong way to someone. Hello? Amen? So he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity. Without love, you can't prosper. Without love, you can't practice the word. Without love, you can't be pacified. Come on. Which is the bond of perfectness. What did he say first at the close of his letter? Be perfect. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Amen. So in 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul is writing to his student, Timothy, and we're all students. We're all studying to show ourselves approved, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So as we're looking at this word today, he tells his student, flee also youthful lust, because I'm not going in the same direction any longer. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's why God connects you to a body, because God didn't give everybody everything, but he gave everybody something, and we all need each other. Amen? And that's why each and every one of us are valuable to one another. We need one another. Amen? I need what you have, and you need what I have. That doesn't make us needy. That makes us blessed. Amen? It's in a different light. It's a different mindset. So in closing today, this calls for you and I to participate. You know, in other words, it calls for us to do our part. God will always do his part, but he calls for you and I to do ours. So he says, you know, when we're praying, that now faith is the substance of things we're hoping for, the evidence of things not seen. There's things that we're looking for and that we're desiring, but we're trusting him in it and through it to get to it. Amen. And he reminded me in Romans chapter 16. How many are going through some tests right now? I'm going through some trials. Come on. God said the trial of your faith worketh patience. And patience gives us experience. And experience gives us hope. And hope makes us not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Comforter, by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. So the Apostle Paul says this word of encouragement. And when I'm facing a storm, the Lord reminds me of this word. The Apostle said in verse number 20, he said, and the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. The apostle would say, for by grace you are saved by faith. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. God's saying to you and I today, just as the apostle said, be perfect. Be of good comfort. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. God sent his word today for you to prosper. You will prosper if you put the word to practice. And when you put the word to practice, the Spirit of God will pacify your storm. He'll calm every storm that the enemy has formed. And that's where the peace of God that surmounts every bit of understanding guards our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. Bow your heads and let us pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I'm grateful that you sent your word here today to accomplish what you sent it to do. Father, your word says, behold, you stand at the door and knock. If any man hears your voice and opens the door, that you will come in and sup with him and they with you. If you're here today and you do not know Jesus, but you feel him prompting your heart, he's knocking on your heart's door. and you would like him to come into your heart and life as your Lord and Savior, would you just slip up your hand? This is between me and you. Is there anybody at all? Pastor, I need Jesus. Would you raise your hand? I see that hand. Is there another? I see that hand. Is there another? Will you accept Jesus today? Is there anybody at all? The Word of God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's start there. Father, we thank you for the one that raised their hand. Father, as we pray this prayer together, we're going to do it corporately today. Say, dear Jesus, come into my heart as my Lord and my Savior. I acknowledge that you died on the cross, you arose from the grave, you paid the penalty for my sins, you purchased me a place in heaven. Father, forgive me all my sins. Write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving my soul and making me whole. Now, Lord, your word declares, if we being evil know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Now I ask you, Lord, take residence within me. My body now is your temple in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you today for your word. You sent your word for each and every one of us and the sound of my voice to prosper. We prosper as we put this word to practice. As we put this word to practice, we'll pacify, we'll calm every storm. And Father God, you called for us to participate with you. Father God, to be together in unity. As your word declares in Psalms 133, blessed are they that dwell together in unity. So Father, we thank you, Father God. We bind every weapon the enemy is trying to form in the body of Christ to bring division right now. We speak unity in the name of Jesus, united. We send your word out today for those that are sick in body. We speak healing to bodies, minds, souls, and spirits today in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we rejoice and give you praise and glory for all that you've done, all you're doing, and all you're going to do, and we'll never cease to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.